program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
I'm going to start this out with a little message to a friend of mine. He's on a journey. Rest in peace, my friend.
Got the ring.
Hello, Roger, is that you?
Yeah, this is Reza. Reza.
I'm sorry. How are you?
That's okay. Good, how are you doing?
Pretty good so far. I was checking out your app. That's pretty cool. So you can have an attorney on the go, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Anytime, any place, any kind of situation, we got attorneys that can take care of it, so...
It's pretty good. In the circles I run in, this will do a lot of people some good.
Yeah, I designed it, and I kind of thought of it because, you know, as an attorney for almost 10 years now, I get a lot of calls and pretty much, you know, oh, do I have a case or can you help me out with this? And there's times where people just have a simple question and they don't even need an attorney. And, you know, and there's other times where people have a simple question and it turns out they need an attorney really bad. So that's what the app is designed to do. And we have a network of pre-screened, pre-qualified attorneys. So the attorneys that we send the cases out to actually respond are attorneys that we would use for our own friends and families, either myself or the attorneys in California that run the application.
Uh-huh. Well, what I'm going to do right now is put all your info in the chat room, and I'll put your office phone number.
Yeah, we have an office number, which is 949-250-8770.
Uh-huh.
And then we've also got a toll-free number, 888-760-9595.
Okay. And would you like me to put the website address in there too?
Yeah, if you could. We've got two websites. The website for the application where anyone and everyone can download it is pocketattorneyapp.com.
Yeah, I already put that in already. What I was talking about was your practice address, and I put in the telephone number, and then I put in your website.
The law firm website is KN Defense. That's Kilo Nancy Defense .com.
How did you figure out how to start this? What brought that on? Just because people need advice?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I had in my brain, and it's an idea that I had, and I've been thinking about it for I want to say maybe 5-6 months before I even told my wife about it. So I was thinking about it, and I wanted to see if there was a need, if people would call me, and it just finally one day I decided to discuss it with a few people, and 2 months later it was a reality. So
is that how you got hooked up with Bernie?
Yeah, well, Bernie, I met Bernie, and he just was he was someone that I had spoken to. I met him at a pancake house, and we just started talking about bikes. I saw his bike; he had a really nice a nice Harley. So I unfortunately was with my two little toddlers, so I wasn't taking my bike that day. But he had a really nice bike, and we just started to chat, and I was telling him about the app and what I do, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, no, Bernie's a good guy.
Yeah, he's great guy, and a lot of interesting stories too about his career and his life. So just I'm one of those guys that I'd like to I'd find that stuff interesting.
I'm kind of along the same lines myself.
Yeah, so.
Stance, I'll send you something to read. You'll probably laugh your ass off when you read it, but it's how I took on a police department.
Oh, yeah, which one?
I had a guy down here who didn't like the helmets people were wearing. So,
oh yeah.
I went to an IA meeting with internal affairs guy and the guy in charge of traffic. And it was crazy for 2.5 hours. They locked us in a room, turned the heat on, and we weren't supposed to know they were recording us, but you could see the red light in the guy's pocket. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it lasted 6 months, 11 days, and 4 hours before they gave another ticket, and we went at it again.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you got to,
yeah.
You know, that's, you know, that's our duty. I mean, if we're not doing anything wrong, we've got to fight, you know, and it makes our job as attorneys easier when there's people that are willing to, I mean, the clients that are willing to risk it. So, I mean, but yeah, we've got to, you know, we've got to protect our rights. I mean, I think, you know, my personal belief is that's why we got our soldiers out in Iraq and Afghanistan, and these guys are all over the world. Our soldiers are fighting for our freedom.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we sit down and we let the cops, you know, just pull us over and tear our cars apart, tear our bikes apart, and, you know, keep us there sitting on the curb for however long, just because, you know, that's kind of, to me, it's un-American to just sit down and let them get away with it is un-American. So,
yeah, because, you know, 9 out of 10 people, see, court system, traffic court's the biggest extortion racket going. 9 out of 10 people will stand there and holler, and they're not going to pay and all that bullshit, but they will.
Oh, yeah,
guy, it's that one guy that makes a difference. If I could get 50,000 people to take off their helmets for one day, we'd shut down the court system.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Most people don't know that if you ride without a helmet, it's only a fix-it ticket. If you ride and they give you a ticket for the helmet that they don't think is DOT approved, which DOT doesn't approve the helmets anyway. The manufacturer does. They just put the sticker on it. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I thought, I was under the impression. I actually was in court, and, somebody got a ticket for that. And that was about 3 months ago. So,
what happened?
Yeah, that.
They
find
a guy guilty?
Yeah, the defense was he bought the helmet from a motorcycle dealership, and you know, pretty much the testimony was that it didn't have a DOT sticker on it. So the judge, all he cared about was whether or not the sticker was there, and you know, he didn't know about the objections and hearsay and lack of foundation. So he was just asking the questions. Well, you know, I got the helmet, and pretty much the judge said, well, it didn't have a sticker on it, so you're guilty.
Nah, wrong. But that guy can appeal that and win. Because the law states, once you purchase the helmet, you can do anything you want to it. Let me lay this one on you. How many motorcycle cops have you seen in the last 3 years, 10 years?
Many.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You pull up next to him or behind him, and you're looking at him from the back. Do you ever see a DOT sticker on the back of their helmet?
Yeah, that's true. I've never seen that. Yeah.
Okay. Let me lay this one on you. Have you ever noticed that they drill a hole in it to put the microphone in it, which ruins the structural integrity of it? As well as painting it, which ruins the structural integrity of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, drilling the hole. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Now, I ride around with a half shell helmet. I ride around with my bandana on. I ride around with nothing at all, or I ride around with a full face on. And. On the top of my half helmet, I still have the evidence sticker from the police department when they confiscated everything off me that day and handcuffed me for my own safety first, then decided to undress me on the side of the road. And I beat them in court. 7 of them standing to my right. We're not ready. They had 4 months to get ready. I sent discovery letters. I sent public service requests on policy, everything.
And the city attorney just kept sending me stuff she pulled off the internet, which was the wrong stuff. I wanted specific questions answered, and she was giving me nine different ways to go, but not the correct answer. So when I presented all that to the judge, he said he was going to dismiss everything because those guys weren't ready, and because I had proven my case that the reason they pulled me over, they had no probable cause. They had no probable cause to take anything. What really got them going is when they asked me for my license, registration, and proof of insurance, I pulled out my tape recorder and turned it on. That's when the fun started.
Yeah, they don't like that.
No. And then the funny part was after they turned it off, I noticed the guy had the little red light in his pocket, so I subpoenaed a copy of the stop. They sent me the original, so when they went to court, they didn't have a copy of it. They sent me the original. So as I'm standing there in the courtroom, and I got it in my hand, and all their eyes looked like golf balls. They were all surprised because I told them I asked for this, and they sent me the original, and he sided with me. He said I did my homework. He dismissed it in the interest of justice. And to this day, now they don't bother me. They'll follow me.
Yeah.
If I go down anywhere, they're up my ass.
Yeah, and you know it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that people, like you said, if 50,000 people don't wear their helmets, then we'll all clog up the system. But you're right, and not a lot of people will do what you had the balls to do, and the balls and courage, and the knowledge. And if you didn't have the knowledge, or for the people that don't have the knowledge, to hire an attorney to do all that, it's actually, I mean, sometimes it could be quite expensive. So, there are attorneys like me and my partner and I mean, we kind of sometimes, actually most of the times when we see a case that is good, we do it for very cheap because we ultimately, we push the envelope and we try to do everything we can to win every case. But, obviously we don't win them all, but we do our best. And, you probably know it's a lot of work drafting those letters, asking for the specific items, the specific questions. So,
because at the end of when we were in the room, my partner Bill, he's running late. I think something's wrong with his truck, but he should be here in a little bit. Something's wrong with his truck. He took it and get it fixed, and I don't think they finished him on time yet, but he's on his way. But and when we went in that room, when we were sitting those guys for 2.5 hours, about the last 10 minutes, Bill told him, he leaned across the table and said, well, the guy said, it seems like you're very sharp on this stuff, and you did a lot of homework, huh? And I said, the internet's a wonderful thing. And
yeah.
They both chuckled, and Bill leaned across the table and told him, I told you this guy was on point, and I can have him come back once a week and give you guys updates. Because I told him about the 3 grants they were going to get, when they were for and everything, the days they were going to get them. And then 2 of them I got stopped because they were going to use them for motorcycle-only checkpoints, which is unconstitutional.
Yeah, it's funny. Nobody calls them on that stuff. You know, people don't know, and, knowledge is power.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know, and they kind of get away with it because nobody has the courage and the balls to call them on it. So,
because
that was great.
They're all sheeple. They file in one door, see the clerk, and file out the other door. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's funny. As an attorney, I go to court almost every day. And when I see and hear some of the things that happen on cases, people just coming in without attorneys, not even asking to talk to the public defender. I describe it to people as lambs to the slaughter. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm just shaking my head like I can't believe that these judges are allowing these pleas to go down, these guilty pleas, and, you know, for what? Just because these people don't know any better.
Exactly.
You know,
They're more worried about an informed citizen than they are an average Joe Blow.
Yeah, and they want to keep, you know, and unfortunately, it's, you know, I mean, times are going to change with the internet. Like you said, you just go on the internet, and if you have the patience to read through all these letters and articles and documents that you find,
yeah.
You know, people are going to have more knowledge. People are going to be more sophisticated, and hopefully one day, you know, there's enough people that can stop the corruption and the malicious prosecutions, because that's what it is.
Well, you know,
I mean,
you know, it's like in Los Angeles County, if you get a red light ticket, they don't bother you, they don't come after you, they don't do anything, okay? But in San Diego County, if you get a red light ticket, they will stop your license, they will turn it over to collection agency, and they will put a bench warrant out for your arrest. I sat in the courtroom and I listened to a guy say the same thing. In Los Angeles, they're not even prosecuting people. Why are you prosecuting me? And the guy said, this is San Diego County and we do things different down here.
Yeah. Yep. And basically what they're saying, and it's funny, you know, it's the people that need to get bring the issue up. Okay. What they're saying is, you know what? We're okay with San Diego County, the courts and the police and the prosecutors, the city prosecutors, ignoring the findings by the California Supreme Court, saying that there's improper foundation on those red light cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're violating the law. I mean, the law is what the Supreme Court says it is, and if they say you need to do all these things to lay the foundation, you need to bring the expert in that sets up the cameras. A judge, I mean, in my opinion, judges or any judge shouldn't even take the guilty plea without having the people first produce that evidence, lay the foundation to say that that's even proper. But they don't do that. They intimidate people. Well, you know, I'm going to keep you here for 3 hours. Let the city prosecutor lay the foundation, and then you're probably going to be found guilty anyway. And then I won't give you traffic school.
Right.
Right. That's probably what you heard, right?
Right. And then the same thing now. You know, like I was on my way to a function in Los Angeles County. San Fernando Valley. Me and a friend of mine got pulled over on a freeway and we were given a ticket for riding on the shoulder. We went to court and he had us both on the same day. So I was on the sixth floor, he was on the fourth floor. Well, he showed up in my room, so I got jacked. When he went back in September, he got a continuance because he just pled. The guy showed up for me, so yeah, I'm ready to go. They jacked me around. And when he went back in September, the guy didn't show up. But it was because I was informed and I was busting his balls on everything he said that he showed up for mine. So when I said my piece, the guy asked him a couple of questions and he looked at me and said, well, I think you're guilty. And I said, how about traffic school? And he pondered it for a minute, and then, you know, because when you go in there, they already got your traffic record, so that determines whether you're going to get traffic school or not. Even if you just went 6 months ago, if you haven't had a ticket in a long time, that usually sways their way to give you traffic school again, or they'll send you to level 2 traffic school, and that's what they sent me to.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, they make, at the end of the day, they make it sound like they're doing you a favor when they're railroading you. And oh, boy, you're doing me the favor, huh?
You're getting bent over. You're not even getting a kiss anymore.
Yeah.
No. At least sometimes at least a reach around would work, you know?
Tell me about it. Yeah, the problem is that all these people, you know, and it's not the people's fault either, you know. I've seen attorneys, I saw this was a couple of years ago, and I guess the reason was the client was out of the country, but she had an opportunity to set the case for trial, and she could have come back and, you know, at least talk to the officer and see what the basis for the stop was and what the officer actually saw. But she just said, it's okay. I'll just plead my client guilty. I have the authority. So, you know, regular non-attorneys do it, you know, civilians do it, and attorneys do it too. They just basically say, well, you know, this fight is not worth it. I'm not going to fight this fight. That's what people pay me for, you know, to fight no matter what. If you want me to fight the case, or if you tell me not to fight the case, or you don't want to do a certain thing, that's fine. You know, as long as there's a good reason for it, a strategic reason. You know, you don't want to bring attention to something else. Yeah, you know, and I've been doing that for 10 years. But, you know, we've got to make the smart decision. But, you know, when there's no reason and you got pretty much nothing to lose, you might as well. So
we have. I'll tell you a quick story. Happened to a friend of mine. And what happened was, there's a bar we frequent downtown. I don't drink, but I go down there. I walk down to get a cup of coffee and come back. Well, while I went down to get the coffee, this guy was leaving. I already said goodbye and everything, but he started his bike, which was backed in at the curb on an incline. You know how the streets got a kind of like curvature to them, so the water runs to the sides. So he's backed in at the curb, and he starts the bike, and he walks over and he puts on his jacket, and he shakes hands with everybody, he gets on the bike and he leaves. About 3 or 4 minutes went by before he left. Chick's sitting across this bull-eyed cop is sitting across the street in the alley watching him. She lets him go, doesn't do anything. He gets down, he goes down. He's about 2.5 miles away, and another guy pulls him over. She comes roaring up, said he was speeding, wrote him for leaving his bike unattended, gave him a ticket for leaving his bike unattended.
Wow.
At that point, all the information I gave him, he was kind of nervous to do it by himself, so we got a guy down here that we use. His name is Ashby. Anyway, Ashby went with him, and she showed up. She was bound and determined to nail this guy. She's bound and determined to nail me, but I got her on the run. So what happened was Ashby starts interviewing her, and he says, so you were down at the bar, parked in your car across the alley watching, and you felt that this was a safety issue. Why did it take 2.5 miles from there, 15 minutes later, for you to come and write him a ticket saying it was a safety issue? Oh, yeah. He was speeding, too, and okay, you pulled him over? Yeah, I pulled him over. Your Honor, I object. Her testimony isn't correct. What do you mean my testimony is not correct? He said, you didn't pull him over. And this kid did what I told him to do. Get all the business cards of everybody that shows up. And Ashby started naming off the guy that pulled him over. And she said, well, yeah, I had him pull him over, but I was on my way. Well, then you didn't pull him over. So how could you say he was speeding? Okay, so that's lie number one. Then she starts talking about, well, this all started because he left his bike running at the curb, backed into the curb. And then the judge, without batting an eye, goes, so when I opened my garage door in the morning and I roll my bike outside and I start it up before I put everything on and I close the garage door and I come out the front door and I get on my bike, you'd give me a ticket for leaving my bike unattended? And her jaw just dropped. So basically, we got a copy of Mrs. I never get anything wrong, and you guys, I always win. Got it broke off in her ass at the elbow. Everything got dismissed. At, and then she got moved to the east side of town on third shift. So she loves us.
Well, great job. You make that would make any half even a half decent criminal defense attorney proud. So.
Yeah, and then this all started with one guy on a bike, but four guys taking off their bikes. They each lost $832.19 a month for the Saturday maintenance. They got paid overtime to do maintenance on the bikes on Saturdays, wash them, whatever. So those four guys now are walking a beat downtown, and nobody's walked a beat in downtown Oceanside since 1989. And these guys are on second shift, so I could ride down there. I could be down there 10 minutes, and I won't see one of them. As soon as they find out I'm downtown, they're parked all over strategically to see what I'm going to do and where I'm going. That's how crazy this is.
Yeah, it's just like you said, you know, just the idea, if 50,000 people don't wear their helmets, I mean, what are they going to do, bust everyone? You know,
exactly.
And they pick out. You know, and at some point, if they see, if you're with 10 different people that are doing the same exact thing, and you're the one that's always getting stopped, you know, then the pattern is clear. They don't care about anyone else doing that conduct. They care about you doing that conduct, whatever it is, not wearing the helmet, you know.
In 9 months, I had 59 contact cards made out. What does that tell you?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot. And I'm sure, according to them, every single one was your fault, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to give you a ticket, but I'm, then I want to see, when they say that shit, here's what happens. Don't pull me over. Depending on where I'm at or what I'm wearing or which way I'm going, they'll pull me over, get out of the car, leave the car running unattended, but they'll try and give my friend a ticket for that. And if you've ever been pulled over, what's the first thing you hear when you get out? You know, if they pull you out of your car's not running, but theirs is running.
Yeah.
Okay. But what happens is they'll walk up and ask me for my license, registration, and proof of insurance. Now, most people carry it in their back pocket in their wallet. There's no reason for you to pull out your wallet to show them everything in your life. You get a little half billfold, which I have a bunch of them I give out from an attorney, two attorneys up there. I don't know if you've ever heard the name Shapiro and Leventhal.
Yes, I have.
Okay, they go to all the biker events and they hand out these little wallets. And they're great because one side is a view, so that's where I put my license. The other side is where I put my registration and proof of insurance. But as I'm pulling it, I tell them, I'm going to unzip my jacket. So I'm going to reach into my pocket, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm pulling out what you asked me for, but I'm also pulling out my recorder. Oh, well, you don't need a recorder. This is just information stuff. Then why did you pull me over? Am I free to go? If I didn't do anything wrong, am I free to go? Am I under arrest? And that's when they start getting, you can see them start getting pissed. So that at that point, I just say, hey, you know what? I'm done talking to you. I want to talk to the watch commander or whoever's above you. And then that's when I get handcuffed for my own safety, sat on the curb, and wait till those guys show up.
You know, even one thing that's better is I have on the back of my business cards, you know, politely indicate, politely ask, are you arrested? If you're free to leave, you know, if they'll obviously say no, you're not free to leave. Ask for the watch commander, but also ask for an attorney.
Uh huh. Well,
and
this is what I carry. Maybe if you want, we'll get together. I come up that way, or I'll meet you halfway, or something. So But this is what I give them. Please take notice that I do not waive and hereby invoke my rights under the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution. I also object to any search or of any kind whatsoever. I will not consent to a search of my person, things, car, or home. I choose to remain silent. I will not say anything without my lawyer. I will not answer any questions or provide you any explanation until I have spoken to my lawyer. Because of the possibility of lying of witnesses or jailhouse informants, I will also not talk about my case with anyone other than my lawyer. Make this card a part of your report concerning this contact.
Yes, that is everything you should say. And what I tell my clients also, the advice that I give everyone, is the most important part. Yes. Shut up.
That's those famous two words. Shut up.
Yes. If you're going to, and if anything comes out of your mouth, at that point, everything, you read that card, if there's anything that comes out of your mouth, is you should be saying, well, I'd like to ask, I'll answer everything. I'll answer all your questions. Just give me my lawyer. I want my lawyer. Lawyer. Lawyer should be every third word out of your mouth should be lawyer.
All right, here, I got one for you. I think you'll enjoy this. On the top of my saddlebag is a ball peen hammer. I just retired the 1-pounder and I went to a 3-pounder. This one is called, the other one was called Master Mechanic. This one is called the Trooper. Because it's not against the law to carry a hammer. Unless you put your name on it and make it personal, then it becomes a felony. So for the last almost 20 years now, I've been riding around with a hammer on top of my saddlebag. I should have told you this was part of the stops. But what they do is they run up, they start grabbing, trying to rip the hammer off the top of the saddlebag. Until I inform them that it's not against the law to carry a hammer. And to this day, there is no fingerprints on that hammer, which is brand new. It's only about 3 weeks old. But the only prints on that hammer are 4 cops that have touched it in the last 3 weeks. Never touch it without gloves.
Let them take it as evidence, and then that's one thing we ask. We ask for them to fingerprint it, and
exactly. not against.
I'll represent you on that case if they ever bring that on.
Not against the law to carry a hammer.
Yeah.
But. So basically, what entails all your practice? What are your specialties, or what do you dabble in most?
Well, we only handle, my partner and I, we only handle criminal defense cases. So, we're not certified specialists by the bar, but we handle only, our practice is limited only to criminal defense. So, you've got attorneys that do, they'll do a little bit of, they'll do criminal, they'll do family law, they'll do personal injury. That's not us. We are actually, we don't even have any non-criminal cases. So our practice is pretty much 100% criminal defense work.
Uh-huh.
Now, we handle everything from traffic tickets all the way to murder, rape, robbery, the serious strikes. So we do the full spectrum of criminal defense cases.
Uh-huh.
And, because we also do the more serious cases, when somebody has a case that really looks like they kind of don't need an attorney, we'll be the first ones to tell them, you don't need an attorney on this one. Just go to court and tell this to the judge. So we try to be honest with people, and you know, the whole idea of the app, you know, we just tell us the situation, ask us a simple question. Usually we can figure out what, whether or not you need an attorney and whether or not it's worth it to hire and bring in an attorney on the case that you think you may or may not have.
Uh-huh. Because, you know, a lot of people think, well, I really did nothing wrong, so why should I get an attorney? But you need to talk to one first, because if you go in blind, you're going to get fucked.
Yeah, and just, you know, keep this in mind, and my description was lambs to the slaughter. I mean, that's what it is. Everyone coming in that front door of the courthouse, you know, you can go to any courthouse and you'll see that line. You know, probably 80 to 90% of those people that don't have attorneys are just, they're just heading into the buzzsaw. And, yeah, and there's a lot of attorneys that are good, reputable attorneys. You know, us in particular, this is how we run our practice. We will tell you if you need us. And if you don't, we'll be the first person to tell you that. And
uh-huh.
We'll advise you. You can go somebody else. You can go to somebody else. They may scare you into hiring them and getting some money from you. But at the end of the day, we don't do that. We're honest with people. And, you know, if you need an attorney, then you need one. But if you don't, like I said, we'll tell you that and, you know, tell you what to do. But, yeah, nowadays, almost every attorney offers some sort of free consultation. But the good thing is with the application, you don't even need to. I mean, it's free.
Yeah.
So you download it on your phone, and just like you said, the situation where people don't know, they can just go to the application, put their question in, and then we'll review it. It all comes to us, and then they'll get the response from the local attorney.
Well, what if I call you while I'm on the side of the road with three or four of them with their guns drawn?
Well, those calls, if you put that on there, if you put those facts in there, we get an email immediately, and as long as your telephone number and contact information is accurate, you'll most likely get a call as it's happening. So, and if it's local, if it's in California, I can tell you either my partner and I will probably be the ones calling you at, like, you know, 10, 11, 2 in the morning. So we get the emails and we get notices immediately. And
what are you going to do if the cops answer my phone instead of me after they lock me up?
Well, I've actually had that happen. and I have no problem about identifying myself. And what I tell them is that you're represented and you're asserting your right to an attorney. And hopefully they don't. What they do is sometimes what they do is they act as if they don't know, or, well, they act to you who's been arrested as if you don't have an attorney.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of do this game, like, you know, they do the game and they say, oh, you know, you don't have an attorney. Nobody's ever tried to contact us. And but you know you're going to get a call immediately from us.
Right.
So all you have to do is just even invoke, I want my lawyer. Even if you don't retain us and you decide, you know what, I'm going to go with the public defender, I'm going to go with some other attorney, at least you're on tape, you're on video saying, I want my lawyer 5 times, 7 times. So if that ever...
Well, I've been in the back of the car hollering, I do not give up my rights, and I've had a case dismissed because of that.
Exactly. And I do not give up my rights, and ask for a lawyer. I want my lawyer. I want my lawyer. The most important thing, because those words are anything after that, any kind of questioning initiated by the authorities, it's not getting in. It's not getting in at prelim, and it's not getting in at trial.
Okay.
So invoke, invoke, invoke. Shut up, shut up, shut up.
Exactly.
Ask for a lawyer, ask for a lawyer, ask for a lawyer.
You know, that little incident with my helmet ticket, which dragged on for almost 9 months, they spent $95,000. I was in for $200.
Yeah.
When you go to court, by the time you figure out everybody involved in that courtroom, just one ticket with all paying all those salaries is probably anywhere from $3,500 to $5,900 for that 4 or 5 minutes that you're at the podium.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's the biggest racket out there. It's legalized extortion.
Yeah. It's I don't disagree with you. Yeah, and it's, again, you're completely right. And, you know, I'm glad you have this forum because people need to hear it. I mean, if people are listening and, you know, for the people listening, you just gotta unite. I mean, you gotta get people that, hey, we're all not gonna wear our helmets. We're all, you know, when somebody sees cops doing something wrong, and it's happening more and more, you know, with cell phone cameras, you know, I see on the internet, and I see even regular stores like Costco selling these little recorders, video cameras that are these little pen cameras. I mean, you know, obviously it's illegal to record someone without their knowledge and consent. And what you do is perfect. You know, just tell them, hey, look, this is my recorder. It's on. I'm recording this. And put it right, clear as day, you know, it's the best thing you can do. And another thing you should say is, look, officer, and I'm not saying be a little condescending, but officer, I understand that you're a good officer and you're trying to do your job. So
No, I'm not going to give anybody a blowjob on the side of the road. I'm sorry.
No, well, this is what I would say. I'd say something like, well, this tape recorder is to protect you. So if I go to court and I lie and I say something that's not true, well, you're protected because you have this recording. You know, just like what they say that, you know, I've seen these interrogations so many times, recorded interviews. Well, we're recording for your protection so that you don't say something, you know? Like when creditors call, they always say, we're recording this call for your protection, the consumer. No, they're not. They're recording it to use as evidence against you.
Exactly.
They're recording it to use your statements against you. So, hey, why can't we do the same thing?
Well, like I said, I pull mine out. I set it on the seat, on the bike seat, and then I'll open that up and I'll take out whatever they ask me for and I'll hand it to them. But also, I've also tried this one. This is where I really piss them off. I ask them for a receipt.
for all the things that they're taking.
Yeah. And then they go, well, you're going to get a receipt, but you're going to have to sign it. I said, no, I didn't ask. I asked if I get that back when I leave here.
Yeah, they don't want you to sign anything. They don't want you to sign anything. They don't want you to do anything that documents whatever they're doing. So, I'm sorry, my little guy is asking me a couple of questions here.
That's cool. I did that. They're all grown now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who are you talking to?
No, excuse me, 1 second. Just give me 1 second.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
No worries. No worries.
Yeah.
But no. What I'd like you to do the next time you go to court, try this one. You see a motor officer, because you know he's going to walk in with that $1,500 helmet and set it on the bench, and just walk up and start looking at him. When he asks you what you're doing, ask him, how is that helmet legal? It's painted. It's got a hole drilled in it. And I don't see a dot sticker. So how could it be legal? And see what your answer is.
Yeah, you know what? I'll actually when I pull next to a motorcycle officer in the street, I'm going to look for that and make a little comment too. So, but yeah, that's something I've never noticed. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I've never noticed that they don't have the. I've never seen one, and I mean. They don't have the DOT stickers on there, and that's true. That's according to
most people don't look. Most people don't look. I've already asked them. How can you stand there and be honest with yourself and uphold the Constitution of the United States, and you're going to give me a ticket, and you're wearing an illegal helmet? Well, no, ours are certified by the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation does not certify helmets. They never have, and they never will, because the government will not take on that liability.
Yeah.
That's why right now there are no motorcycle helmets of any kind that I know of made in the United States. You know, for $300, for $600, you can get 300 motorcycle helmets that they sell you for $159 to $299 at any dealership from China for $2 a piece. But you got to buy a lot of 300. And they come whatever colors you want, whatever, and they have a dot sticker on them, and they have not been tested to come here. The helmet's not going to save your life anyway. It might prolong you getting disfigured, but it's not. You go down and bang your head, you're going to snap your neck.
Yeah.
Somebody just asked me a question. What if you don't talk to the cop and he can hold you up for up to 72 hours?
Well, for the cop to hold you for up to 72 hours, he would have to arrest you. And at the end of the day, if you're not making any statements, if you're getting pulled over for something and they don't find anything illegal on you, and they essentially don't have a reason to arrest you. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't. They could still possibly arrest you. And unfortunately, what the next step would be to sit in jail for 3 days or bail out. In that situation, I would, as bad as this may sound, I would advise against bailing out.
Because during a traffic stop, you can tell them, I want to go see a judge. That's your right in the state of California. They have to take you to see a judge. So if you're going to sit for 2 or 3 days, if you're going to do this, you got to have the balls to go through all the whole thing.
Right. And if you don't, then, then if
you're just
pissing
in the wind, you're going to get wet.
Yeah, exactly. But, yes, they have the right to hold you for 72 hours. But that's something that's usually done for felonies. I mean, it could be serious felonies or non-serious felonies, but they do have the right to hold you for 3 days. And if it's you get arrested on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the day it's court days. So the next day would be Monday, that they have until Monday morning to fill the police reports out, send it to the DA's office, and then the DA's office has to decide by noon the third day. And
exactly.
If they don't, I'm sorry?
I said, no, you're right, exactly.
Yeah, if they don't make a decision, if they decide not to file charges, then you'll get cut loose from the courthouse.
Okay, let me ask you this. I've been told numerous times, if I impede the investigation any longer, they're going to charge me $148 for obstruction. And you know what I do at that point? I put my wrists out.
Yep.
And the guy goes, what are you doing that for? Starts me. It's like, oh, well, that's when the fun starts. Now I called them on it. Now I want them to arrest me. So I have a record of the bullshit that they fucking do every time.
Yeah, and most importantly, that's when you stick your wrists out, you should be also saying, arrest me, I want my lawyer. And at that point, impeding the investigation, if they're calling you impeding or obstructing justice, a violation of 148, if they describe that as a result of you invoking your constitutional rights, then that case, you're taking a trial. Okay, if I'm the attorney on it, I'm taking it to trial. That case won't even make it to trial because you're not obstructing justice and you're not disrupting a peace officer during the course of his duties by invoking your constitutional rights.
No, but what they want to do is they think they're trying to intimidate you.
Oh yeah, yeah, and just like you said before, if you don't have the courage to possibly sit in jail for a couple of hours or a few days, then you got to be a little bit careful about what you say. But at the end of the day, if that's what they want to do, which is generally most of the time, all you can do is just invoke your rights and shut up. That's it.
So there's a guy who just typed in another question. I wish he would call in, but the number is 347-826-7753. But he just typed in now. He's the one that asked, what if you don't talk to the cop and hold him for 72 hours? So he says, okay, so for everything we've just talked about, he says, so you have a hardship for you and your family. You may even lose your job. What can you do after that if you stand up for yourself?
Well, if you lose your job because you're in jail for 3 days, that's something that's unfortunately, that's a tragedy. One remedy might be that if you were falsely arrested. I mean, if you don't say anything other than give them your name and identification, and they just want to harass you, and they take you in for 3 days, and no charges are filed, there would actually be a couple of things that I would do. Okay, the first thing I would do is I would ask the police department for a finding that you weren't under arrest. Okay. And that basically, if they call it a detention, which is what you would want, because then calling it a detention and then holding you for 3 days is kind of outrageous. So you kind of set up a situation where you can possibly sue them for whatever damages you incur. Now, if you lose your job because you're in jail, because they arrested you for no reason, then you have actually, in my opinion, what may be the makings of a good civil case against the police department.
Okay.
Especially
because
I have the mayor
and the chief of police on tape saying
And to 700 bikers, the mayor said, I would love to take all you guys to my house. You guys are great people. That was on Saturday. The following Monday, I'm in his office asking him why the policy and procedures that they institute and try to give people tickets for, people, in, I have pictures of their the guys in town with sun pipes, beanie helmets, get back whips, wearing colors, all kinds of shit. And he said, let me look into it. So I'm getting ready to go, and I are getting ready to go see him again.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, the mayors and, I mean, these are all elected officials. And, I mean, you know, you know as well as I do that these guys will probably say anything they think a group of people want to hear, especially voters. And the only way, and it's exactly what you're doing, is the only way to call them on it is to call them on it in public. Call them on it, you know, in front of the crowd. Get
yeah.
everyone there and say, hey, yeah, you know, hey, I thought, you know, on this date you said that we were your friends. You'd want us over your house. Now when we come to this other function where you're giving a speech, you're getting the police to arrest us and take us to jail. For what? Because we're wearing jackets? Because we're wearing colors? Because we're on bikes? We're on two wheels, not four?
Yeah, but that's the same. I mean, our chief of police is the one whose wife went nuts up there and started shooting at the cops. That was me or you that shot at the cops. We'd get locked up for 10 years. She got to go to the nut house for a couple of weeks in probation.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of people don't find out about these things. And in the past, this happened all the time, before the internet, before there were reporters that would actually that had the balls to report this information. But yeah, you're right. And knowledge, the radio shows, the internet, get the email blasts out and let people know about it and write the letter.
Right now you've got 24,864 people listening in the United States. In Canada, we got 2,886. In Germany, we have 1,647. Australia, we've got 1,295. Russia, we have 736. France, we have 562. Denmark, we have 540 people listening. Switzerland, we have 534. The United Kingdom, we have 518. Slovenia, we have 384. The Ukraine, we've got 270. Switzerland, 242. Poland, we got 180. They're listening to you all over the world, man. Brazil, 730. New Zealand, 670.
Yeah, and all these
if all these people
really are interested, if they want to correct the injustices, you know, you don't have to be. It's not something where you know you have to do it alone. It's something that if you've got a group of people that can stand up, that stand together, you know, one finger, it's not that strong, but when you have five fingers and a palm, you make a fist. And,
right.
You know, you're a lot stronger, and you could make more of an impact if you make a noise. You know, there's one hand, two hands, you clap, and you make a loud noise.
Right.
So the people need to, if they feel passionately about this, I mean, do it. Make a, exactly what you said. 50,000 people don't wear their helmets. What's the court system going to do? It's going to come to a screeching halt is what's going to happen. If they have to deal with even 10,000 tickets on over a one-week period. I mean, it's going to come to a screeching halt. Everybody asks for their rights. I want a trial by jury. I'm sorry, infractions. You don't get a jury trial. You get a judge trial. So yes, we all want to go to trial. Okay.
Somebody asked if you ride.
I do ride. Yes. I unfortunately have a, and you heard one of my little guys before. I got two little kids, which take up a lot of my time. I wish I could ride a little bit more, but I gotta spend more time riding than I have. But I do ride. Yes.
Okay. Because I have a couple of functions that it might be good for you to come down and meet some of the boys, but I have a couple of functions coming up. I have one coming up on the 29th of month, next Saturday, at Quade Harley-Davidson in Temecula. It's called the Help Ride, and this goes to help all the Marines. And what happens is, what this is we collect wheelchairs, motorized, regular, whatever, because just to let you know how the VA is fucked up in this country, they do not give, it takes 9 months to a year to get a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
The VA. Yeah. So what we do is we collect these, and there's a guy that refurbishes them, and everything gets donated to do that, and then they take them to the VA. They go to Yorba Linda, they go all the VAs, and they walk in and they just gift people with these. They find out who needs one, and they just gift them to them.
Oh, that's a great cause. There was a judge in Orange County. This was probably in 2005, 2006. He used to help customize motorcycles into trikes for veterans. God, what was his name? Commissioner Gould. I forgot his first name, but it was Gould, G-O-U-L-D. But he retired a number of years back. So, that's something that's actually, I'm going to try to get out there. I'll try to.
Okay. It starts at let me see here. I just received this flyer today, but it starts at 9 o'clock to 5:30. And what they're gonna have there, it's called the third annual Help Ride. It's gonna be a bike and music festival, and it's gonna be hosted by Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses, and scheduled to perform as Gilby Clark, Eric Turner from Warrant, Bobby Blitzer from Rat. They got Adler's Appetite, Creedence, Cool Bands. The proceeds are all going to benefit all from the Heart, which is the mainframe who donates all the wheelchairs. So they're going to have the poker run in the morning, which this guy's Gilby Clark's going to lead. They're going to have the high hand, low hand, and the chapter challenge payouts. They're going to have a bike show, vendors, food, beer, wine, tattoo contest, fashion show, lingerie fashion show, by the way, and opportunity drawings, chapter challenge, and all bikes are welcome. And kids 15 and under are free. So if you want to ride in the event, it's 25 per rider or 40 per couple. But the ride leaves there at 8:30. The registration starts at 8, and I think they leave at 8:30, but I don't think they'll have everybody registered, so it'll probably leave around 9:15. But it's going to go out about 90 miles out through the country and then come back.
Okay. I'll Yeah, let me see what I can, let me see if I can get out there.
And, no, Henry, I'm not sidestepping. I'm just cluing him in. I wanna meet this guy, and I think that would be a place to meet. Plus the fact that I'm gonna have a lot of biker friends there, and maybe potential clients. The last time I was in Temecula, which was last Friday night, I went down to the Rod Run to meet some other people. They had a store. They have a business there, and I didn't make it to the first street before I got pulled over.
Yeah, that area is, that's, they've got some interesting law enforcement out there.
Yeah, I mean, how would you like to get a ticket at the stop sign because this guy says your exhaust pipe is too loud?
But they do have some good cops. I mean, I won't say, there's some that are good out there, but, yeah, they've also got some that are pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, most cops were the guys that got picked on in school.
Yeah. the Napoleon complex.
Absolutely. And I even work with some guys with the Napoleon complex.
Yeah. that's always the, it's always tough to deal with, so...
But no, and then I got another question. Somebody asked, how many bike cases have you had, and if you've won, how many you've won?
What do you mean by bike cases?
Well, how many guys, any tickets, anything concerning a bike or motorcycle?
Actually, I don't. Generally, speeding tickets or infractions, because we handle misdemeanors all the way to serious crimes. The infractions, my fees usually to go to court are a lot more than it's worth, but I'll advise the client on what to do, how to cross-examine, what to ask
uh-huh.
for as far as discovery. So most of the time with infractions, unless there's a really dire need for me to go to court, I'll just advise the caller, whoever it is, that they should just go in themselves and ask for a trial date, set the bail, and then see when the officer comes in, give them the discovery request, what to ask for and who to fax it to, stuff like that. So I don't generally do a lot of traffic tickets in general. So that's a kind of a hard question to answer. But if you're, obviously if you get arrested for a felony or a misdemeanor, then my track record is pretty good. I could probably count on one hand how many times I've gone to court for clients and I haven't been, that I wasn't happy with the result. So, today I had two clients. One was charged, they were both charged with DUIs. And one of them, it was supposed to be his third DUI and it was a refusal. And I ended up getting a speeding ticket for him. And then the other client, it was he had a .15 on his blood, which is
uh-huh.
almost double the limit. I got a dry reckless driving for him. So that was because of the blood alcohol level was a little high, and all because I was able to show that the officer that pulled him over wasn't all there. It was someone who he lost his cool. He started yelling at these guys. He had them locked up in the back of the car seat for 6 hours.
Uh-huh.
So,
for DUI?
Yeah, these were both DUIs. Yeah.
This guy's still patrolling the streets?
No, he's actually working at some park.
A park cop? Oh, my God.
Yeah, believe
another
it or
guy
not.
With another Napoleon complex.
Oh, yeah, big time. This guy was like, yelling and screaming, and, I had witnesses. This guy is, he's working the park now. So
unbelievable, man.
Yeah, and if they're respectful, if they they don't have to have that Napoleon complex, and they don't have to harass people that shouldn't be harassed. They shouldn't, they should do their job and do their job properly. If somebody's violating the law, you pull them over, you write them a ticket, and whatever, you go to court, you testify. If you're doing everything legit, then good. You don't need to do anything. I mean, you don't need to worry about it. But it's when they harass people, and they profile and they pick certain things that they want to prosecute and they want to harass the driver or the rider. That's when the problem is.
Right.
Do we get another question?
I was reading something. He just asked me about where my partner was, but I, like I said earlier, I think he's running late.
Oh, okay. No more legal questions.
No, I have one for you. Hey, I do what you say. I tell them I want my attorney. They handcuff me, throw me in the car. They take me to the station. Throw me in the tank. Still haven't talked to you yet. They took my phone. Find out they're downloading my phone.
Put a security code on your phones.
No, I take the battery out. I'll tell you why. Because I take the battery out when I ride. And the only reason I do that is because I've gotten pulled over and they've looked at my phone and said, how come it's not on? Because there's no battery in it. Well, why do you take the battery out? Because nobody has to know where I'm going. Well, what are you up to? Nothing. Where are you going? Point A. Where are you coming from? Point B. You let them know how smart you are when you open your mouth.
Yeah, and even so, I mean, take your battery out, but also put a security password on there. Okay, because there's case law that's coming down that says if there's a security password on there, then they might need, it's looking like they're going to need a search warrant.
Well, so Brown, Governor Brown, 2 weeks ago, just made it illegal for them to do that. They have to get a warrant, and they have to justify why they need to get into your phone to get the warrant.
Yeah, and
they're going to lie to get to your phone.
Exactly. But even, and we expect them to lie.
Exactly.
Okay. But
they're trained to lie.
Yeah, with the security code, they're hopefully not going to be able to figure it out. So even so, make sure you put a security code on your phone.
Well, I just got to. If you lock your phone, do you have to give them the password? No, you don't. Not without a warrant.
Yeah. And if they're asking you for the password, they're violating your rights because you've already invoked and you've already asked for an attorney. So if they're asking you a question, they're violating your rights.
Exactly.
So even if we give it to them, at least
that would be your fourth, fifth, and 14th, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And remember, you're always at every point. What are you doing? If words are going to come out of your mouth, lawyer. I want my lawyer. I want my lawyer. I want my lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go to the bathroom? I want my lawyer. Can I, you know, can I get a jacket? Can I get a blanket? It's cold in here. I want my lawyer.
Okay. And then, my friend asked, if you lock your phone, do you have to give him a password? I don't understand. Well, I understand, but I just can't grasp it. Because the way I'm dressed or the way I look gives them the right to download my phone.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't. It doesn't, and that's not good enough of a reason. And for most people, that's when you get the right attorney and you just you get that evidence kicked out. You make it so that there's no way they use it against you. And, you know, obviously, I mean, you know your rights and you've gone through the system, you've gone through the process before. But if it's something serious, you know, you get the right attorney and, hey, that's our job. As long as you didn't volunteer the information,
uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll give you the passcode. And if
no.
If you didn't ask for the lawyer, then that's something that is on you,
uh-huh.
as the defendant, as the citizen, as the person that has those constitutional rights. If you don't invoke them, then that's on you. You can't later on say, well, I didn't know, or I wasn't sure the way that they were asking me. They were being nice to me. They were being polite.
Yeah.
You know, no. And you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be the bad guy. You don't have to be.
You don't have to kiss anybody's ass, but you don't also have to come off like a stiff prick either.
Right. And that's why, you know, what I tell my clients and potential clients and everyone I talk to is, look, you can be polite about it. Can I please have my lawyer? Can I
mm-hmm.
please have my lawyer? Can I please have my lawyer? Let me be the bad guy. I'm the one that tells them, you know what? My client's not answering any of your questions. Go pound sand. You want evidence? Go do it the old-fashioned way. Go get it from someone else. You're not going to get you're not going to get my client's statements.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that before. I've made appointments at police stations for interviews, and every time I've done it in the last 10 years, I've told my client, look, we're going in there, but most likely you're not coming out because I'm not going to let you make any statements and I'm not going to let you answer any of their questions. So they want you to come here because they want to arrest you. And sure enough, I think in the 10 years, every time I've done that, we've gone in and I'm the only one that comes out. Now, I get a great result at the end of the day because they don't have any statements. They don't have any evidence.
Okay. Because, like, right now, hey, check this out. To serve and protect no longer seems to be the role of our peace officers. Indeed, today, such officers are even labeled as law enforcers, an enforcement that will be needed to enforce unpopular laws in the public, but who do not have the consent of the governed. Police units in America have become an occupying military force. Before the militarization of local police departments came through federalization of them with congressional appropriations, we have not only undermined our Constitution, but have in effect nationalized our local police, as federal money always comes with strings attached. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
This is from a report, but it says police abuse remains one of the most serious invasive human rights violations in the United States. The excessive police officers, including unjustified shootings, severe beatings, fatal chokings, and rough treatment, persist because overwhelming barriers to accountability make it possible for officers who commit human rights violations to escape due punishment and often repeat their offenses. Police or public officials greet each new report of brutality with denials or explain the act was an aberration, while the administration and criminal systems that should deter these abuses by holding officers accountable instead of virtually guarantee them impunity. The extent of rampant and savage police behavior has to date been largely hidden by
corporate media, but no more. Now that the intelligence service has its bodyguards used by Praetorian Guard, which is bodyguards used by Roman emperors in place, we'll be hearing more and more about what badasses cops are. After all, a harsh and tyrannical government is subject to creating great dissension in the general public, and there must be the means to control them. You know, it's like right now with this Occupy Wall Street. People are getting arrested just for demonstrating.
Yeah, well, you know, let me. This is something that, you know, it kind of goes back to what you said, what you do with the recorder. And I think, you know, we should all have recorders. We should all have these camera phones, you know, believe it or not, because if we start using these camera phones and recorders in our phones, then we can call the cops on what they do. Because the only way these cops get busted and we can call them on their conduct, like what's happening in Orange County with those Fullerton cops.
Right.
You know, they just for the audience that may not know, there was a homeless man whose father was actually a police officer. He was, I think he was in his mid-30s. He was schizophrenic, and all the officers knew it, and the neighborhood knew him as having schizophrenia. They were at a bus depot, so the bus depot has a bunch of cameras set up, but what ended up happening was there was a crowd, and people started pulling out their cell phone cameras, and they had about 14 different angles of what happened. And one of the officers had this kid on his like on his knees, and he said, "I give up. I don't want any trouble." And the officer jumped on him. They brutalized this kid. I mean, his face was probably swollen twice the size of a normal face, or the normal size of his face, and Kelly.
I forget the last name. I'm not sure if Kelly's his first name or his last name, but I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, the police officers involved, it was Fullerton, the city of Fullerton, and one of the officers who's out on bail right now, $1 million bail, his fellow officers bailed him out. And there were two officers that were charged. The main officer that started it and basically finished it is charged with second degree murder. And the only reason he is because there were these cameras. There were the bus depot cameras, the people with the cell phone cameras. These people recorded this whole incident on video. And the DA, the district attorney of Orange County, and to his credit, he filed murder charges against this officer. And he argued for $1 million bail. He went to court and he argued for the bail. But it was the people. It was the father who knew the system and knew he had to go to the mayor of the city. He knew he had to go to the city council. And he had a group of people that went in front of the DA's office and protested, how could you not file charges against these two officers, against all of these officers? And, you know, to prevent what that article is talking about, we as the people, what we need to do is use our cell phone cameras when we see injustice, when we see something that we don't think is right. You might get arrested. You might get harassed by the cops. But it's just like you say it. You know, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let these cops bully us. I'm not going to let these cops bully me. I got it all on video. Get the video. Lock your phone, and hold on to it.
Well, you know, there's a good quote from George Washington.
three people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence for many who might attempt to abuse them, including their own.
Yeah, and that right there is, you know, that's one of the guys that wrote that, that helped with the Constitution. I mean, the right to bear arms, you know. Those guys, those, you know, we call them our forefathers. They kind of knew what they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah,
and
because they all came from a place that was fucking them over, and they found here.
Yeah,
you know?
they.
To me, I've got the best quote ever written by Thomas Jefferson. Two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the change of the Constitution, so the second will not become the legalized version of the first.
Yeah, those, like I said before, those guys, they kind of knew what they were, you know, when they had this whole Constitution and our rights, they knew what they were doing. They had it right, you know. It's just, it's the people today that are abusing it. And, you know, we've got to be careful, too. It doesn't, you know, one thing that the listener, your listeners need to know and understand is, it's not just the cops, okay? It's the conservative opinions, the conservative politicians that are picking the judges, which are supposed to be interpreting the laws.
Right.
And they interpret
the laws.
Because,
you know, a lot of elected judges never studied law.
Yeah, and they're former DAs.
Right.
They're these conservative people that, you know, that like your interaction with that city attorney, you know, they think their shit don't stink.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this is something that what they're doing slowly over time is they're, you know, when the case Miranda comes down. And, you know, years ago, when the U.S. Supreme Court says, you know, pursuant to Miranda, the case, People v. Miranda, these certain rights have to be read and they have to be waived. Well, more conservative courts say, well, yeah, they have to be read, but they can be, it can be implied that they're being waived. You know, and these are things that we shouldn't let happen. Well, what do you mean? No, if I have the right, I should be told that I have the right. And then if I say, you know, what does that right mean? What do you mean I have the right to remain silent? You can't just say it and then ask me another question and say,
right,
okay, well, you have read the right, so that's satisfied. I mean, it's not like a checklist. We're talking about constitutional rights here. We're talking about freedom. Because if somebody makes the statement, then that statement is the best evidence that the DA, the prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, and the judge is going to use against that defendant. So, you know, you can have potentially no crime, no witnesses, no evidence, but if you go in there and you admit to the crime during an interrogation that goes a day, that goes several hours, well, now they have the best evidence ever, your admission.
Exactly.
So
that's
what people.
That's why the best two words in the English language: shut up.
Yes. And say it six times. Six words.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. But, and I put on my card, you know, I'll meet you one of these days, and when I give you my card, if you see Bernie, ask him for one of my cards. My cell phone is on the back of my card.
Okay.
And I say, you call me every 10 minutes until I answer. If you're being pulled over, you call my cell phone. That's the kind of attorney I am. Okay. And, you know, there's instructions so that I know it's an emergency.
Right.
And then I take the call immediately, and I leave all that information on my cell phone. because I know, and I've had the situation where I call up and I try to talk to the cops, and I'm advising my client, say this, ask for your lawyer, ask him when you're going to be able to be, ask him when you're done, when your booking process is going to be completed, ask him when they're going to take you to the county jail. And sure enough, you know, it, ultimately, you're going to get arrested. If it's to that point, I'll tell you right now, you're going to be arrested. But the great part of that is you're not, they're not going to have the best evidence against you, because all they're going to have is me talking to you and me advising whoever, ask for your lawyer, ask for your lawyer, ask for your lawyer. And they're not going to ask any questions at all. So,
well, I usually just tell them I'm not, I answered your question. Where are you going? Point A. What do you mean point A? Point A. Where are you coming from? Point B.
Point B, yeah. Well, usually if I'm on the phone, usually it's past that point, and it's, you know, they're, it's a lot more serious. And, you know, there usually is a reason for the arrest. I'm assuming that there is a reason for the arrest, and they may find or they may have some evidence of a crime that was committed.
Well, I've been told numerous times, and friends of mine that know friends, that know people that are in the system here with the city, have told my friend that I better watch out because they're looking to anything. So I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter asking why I'm being threatened through my friends. Well, no, who are you talking about? I said, you guys know. Put the names in there, and they're like, everything was quiet for a couple of weeks. Nobody said nothing. Nobody would tell me anything. Because they didn't have anything to tell, because nobody was asking any more questions or telling them what they were going to do to me. They told them, they told my friend that they were going to charge me with 148 for obstruction. They were going to try and charge me with carrying a weapon. They were going to try and charge me with, like, the knife law that just came out July 1st. Every municipality in California has their own thing now, where they can they can make it up as they go along.
Yeah, and the way that listeners, the way that citizens can fight against that is by getting the unjust treatment on video, putting it on YouTube, putting it on Facebook.
Here in this here in my city, it's the Oceanside City Code 20.10. Weapons, possession in public prohibited. This is the catch-all one that they went to. No person shall appear in any street, alley, sidewalk, parkway, or public place, or place open to the view while carrying a person having in his immediate possession any dangerous or deadly weapon. This section shall not be construed to duplicate prohibitions of California state statute or to prohibit the possession of weapons expressly authorized by California state statute. So basically, what they did was, there's a list of it. I don't know if you've seen this yet. I can send you a copy of it. But the local ordinances, according to the lawyer that wrote this article for off the state, where it says knife laws in California is illegal to carry one, he says the local ordinances, here's where the law gets messy. If the law above seems confusing, as the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Local ordinances vary from city to city and county to county. Whereas California courts have been inconsistent in ruling on the enforceability of these local laws. Like in Los Angeles, you can't carry a blade more than 3 inches in length, or an ice pick, or similar sharp tool, or any straight-edge razor or razor blade fitted to a handle. There are certain exceptions. So now, with the certain exceptions, you have to prove that you need that knife. Like the knife I carry, it's got a serrated edge, which if you've ever been on a Navy ship and they have watertight doors, outside of each door, if it's 10 feet or 50 feet, that part where the two connections come together, so you can take it apart so you can, they can disconnect and close that door, okay? Well, a lot of times we use what they call white lightning, and it's holding everything up off the floor. So that's what we use. And that's what I told them. I use this knife for work. They're like, yeah, right. Okay. And then when the two guys that stopped me, the one guy said, well, where do you work? And I told him, and he goes, I told him about the Navy ships, and he goes, yeah, he's right. They do that. So he gave me back my knife. Because those were two guys that got it. But you run into these two clowns, like the biker shit they teach him in the academy is from the 70s.
Yeah, they, you know, again, I mean, you're smart because you've got the recorder there, and you're explaining it to them so that it's documented. And that, this goes back to that article, too. How do we call these people on what they're doing? How do we call the cops, the dirty ones, on what they're doing? We do it by documenting what they're doing and what they're saying. You know, this is kind of off the subject, but I get calls sometimes from people that get these, you know, the bill collector calls. And they, from what they tell me, the bill collectors will say anything and everything they can to collect on that debt. But here's the problem. There's this law passed by Congress that prevents them from doing all these things. So if they don't think they're being recorded, they're going to go at it.
Uh-huh.
But when I tell anyone who calls me about this issue, I tell them, even if you don't have a recorder, tell them you're recording the conversation.
Right.
They're not going to say anything wrong, because they know that you have the ability to call them on their misdeed or misstep.
Yeah.
And
the one I carry, I won't give a plug where I bought it, but you can plug it into the UBS port on your computer and download it.
Oh, the USB port?
Mine, it'll plug into your computer, you can download it. And I've sent copies of every traffic stop to whatever chief or whoever it is, and they've called me back and said, I think we're going to let this one go. No, I want my day in court.
Yeah. So they're going to make sure you don't get your day in court.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I saw at Costco, Costco.com. I don't know. I mean, at least they used to. This was about a year ago. I don't know if they have them or not, but they had those little pen cams for like $50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little camera hidden in a pen that, like that recorder, you could just plug into the USB port of a computer and watch the videos on film.
Right.
I mean, $50, you know? I mean, and you can buy these things. Yeah, you can buy them from all over the internet now.
I don't know if you ever heard of this group, but I belong to a group called the Bikers of a Lesser Tolerance, BOLT for short. If you go on the BOLT of California website and just type in BOLT of California, it'll come up. You can read all about the helmet laws, traffic stops, all that stuff, and it tells you, gives you all the how-tos and not-tos on what to do when you go to court and how to fight your tickets. And basically, it's a group across the United States where we all help each other out. Like in Las Vegas right now, they just filed a lawsuit against Las Vegas PD. Filed a class action lawsuit over helmet tickets.
Well, that's good.
And
good.
It's representing 40,000 bikers in Nevada.
Oh, wow. You know, well, we may be able to... You know what I can do is, and I sometimes will do this for certain clients. I could go through and put a sample discovery request, and for the people that want to fight the tickets on their own, you can just maybe we can set something up where you could download.
Yeah, he sent it to me. My blog's getting 40,000 hits a day right now.
Okay. I'll actually, I'm not in the office tomorrow, but next week I think I have one office day. So, I can look through, and then I have your email, and I actually saw the website, but I didn't click on it. I went to the show's website. But
yeah, go
ahead. I'll definitely, yeah, and we can help out. Yeah, I mean, we can help out and put like a quick, I'm into bullet points, so.
I'm going to see if I can get my attorney friend Ashby to come up there on the 29th and introduce you to guys, and he can tell you some stories too. But yeah, for a public service request, if you ask for policy or procedures on what they do and how they do it, they have 10 days to answer you. If they don't answer you in those 10 days, you can send the same thing to the FBI. They have 10 days to answer you. If you don't get any satisfaction there from those two, you send it to the Department of Justice under police misconduct, and I guarantee you in 3 to 4 days, somebody will come and see you.
Yeah, and you also, on as far as litigating the ticket, you know, you can ask you ask for all those rights, and you ask for all that information, but you also have the right to that information as part of the court case. So you can do discovery, and
I asked them straight out how many tickets they've written in the last year, the last 3 years, the last 5 years. I've asked all that, and I've gotten it.
Yeah, and they're obligated, pursuant to the discovery laws in the state of California, there's California Civil Code section that they have to produce that. And if they don't, then before you even have to go to trial, before you even talk about producing witnesses for the officer to come in, you go to the judge and say, look, Your Honor, I asked for A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They only gave me A and G. Where's the rest of my stuff that I asked for? I can't go
exactly.
to trial unless I have all this stuff.
That's
and
why mine got dismissed, because they had 4 months to get ready, and she just kept throwing it to the side. The first one I sent her, she went on vacation for 2 weeks. And when I went, I called up and I asked her to talk to her, and she said, oh, she's on vacation. I said, well, how long has she been on vacation? She said, the last 2 weeks. I said, really? I said, I sent her something she was supposed to answer me within 10 days under the California statutes. And the lady, I thought she dropped the phone. The phone went dead. And then she said, let me have your number and your name, and I'll look on her desk.
Yeah, that's when they're in scramble mode. That's exactly where you want them.
That's when I told her, that's when she, that the other lady started downloading all kinds of shit off the internet. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do is, I mean, this is going good. If you want to do a little more research and stuff, I'll offer you to call back Tuesday if you're free next week,
okay.
Tuesday or Thursday, and we can talk a little bit over the weekend. And if you go on the website and you hit about me, and there you got my phone number, and you call me, and we'll set something up. Maybe I can run into you over the weekend.
Okay, yeah, then I'll definitely do that. And then, is it the same time on Tuesday, Tuesday, 6 o'clock?
Tuesdays and Thursdays, yes.
Okay, and, if anyone has any questions, they can download the app for free. And then all the questions, we have a core group of, we have about 5 attorneys. We have one part-time, but I say 5, that all the questions come to us, and then we look at the questions. And I'm one of the attorneys that gets sees all the questions that come through the app. So if there are questions, the criminal defense questions, my partner and I will answer. The ones in California, the ones out of state, we'll get another good criminal defense attorney. I mean, we've got contacts all over the U.S., so...
Here, I got something for you right now. Hang on. I just got this today. This is from, where did I put it? From London. I got a question about, yeah. It says, biker-friendly lawyer who might be prepared to take on a case. He needs to be licensed to work in Arizona, but preferably. So what I'll do is I'll get a hold of this person and I'll give her your number and let her give you a call and you can find out what she's talking about.
Yeah, what was the last part? Preferably what?
Does it live there?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He needs to be licensed in Arizona, but preferably doesn't live there.
Well, I personally, I'm not licensed there, but I've got actually a good a contact in Arizona, depending on what county she needs. But I have a good criminal defense attorney that I've talked to many times. So if I can't do it myself, we'll definitely get her set up. But
okay.
she can call me, and I'll do everything I can to help her out.
Okay, perfect. And hit me up Saturday afternoon if you're not busy, where are you at in Irvine?
By the airport, by John Wayne Airport.
Okay, so you know where the Swallows Inn is in San Juan Capistrano?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Maybe we can meet there Saturday.
Okay, for sure.
Okay, I'll touch base with you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it, and I like it when people ask questions and we can answer them.
I had a great time doing it, and I look forward to doing it again.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.